This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. Can you just check the sound for me, please, on the top of there? Maybe it's not plugged into the right one. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. There's two, there's one for microphone and one for the audio output. Push in properly, testing 1, 2, 3. Let's see. Another way. Okay, so as we said, we started explaining this poem. And we reached 21 lines in explaining this poem. But there remain a number of lines that we didn't yet explain. We have around 12 lines that we haven't explained yet. So I said that I would love to explain this and I would love to, inshallah, teach this book and complete it. Because one of the things I don't personally like is I really don't like it when we start teaching a book and then we leave it halfway done. You see a lot of those books on YouTube. That's one of the problems with YouTube, right? You see somebody started a book, book is halfway finished. You see somebody got a quarter of the way through, the book is not finished. So I really wanted to finish this poem. However, to finish this poem, I was planning to finish it in Newcastle. But the brothers reminded me that you promised you would come to Hyde. And you had promised us for some time and you didn't come. And I'm about to go on a prolonged trip with regard to some traveling that I have to do. So I said it would be nice if I could come down before I travel and we could actually finish the poem here. And subhanAllah, it would have been lovely to actually have a look around the masjid and to meet everybody, but we came in so quickly because we were late already. We just came in and sat down and we're going to make a start. What has the poem covered so far? I'm just going to read it to you and give you a very brief summary, maybe 10-15 minutes to kind of for you to catch up to where we were from last week. The statement of the poet An-Nadhim rahimahullahu ta'ala, tamassak bihablillahi wattabi'il huda wa la taku bid'iyan la'allaka tuflihu. Hold on to the rope of Allah. Hold on to the rope of Allah. And follow the guidance. And do not be a person of innovation so you may be successful. We said that the author tells us to hold on to the Quran and to hold on to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we as Muslims take our belief from the Quran and the Sunnah. We don't take our belief from the intellect, we don't take it from our opinions and ra'i. We don't take our belief from dreams and feelings. We take our belief from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we explained that the Quran and Sunnah include the concept of ijma', that which the early generations agreed upon. And the author, he says, وَدِمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَالسُّنَنِ الَّتِي أَتَتْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ تَنْجُو وَتَرْبَحُ. You should take your religion and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran and the Sunnah, which is authentic from the Messenger. And we said that this is an ishara or an indication from the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, that we should be careful to take our aqidah from the authentic Sunnah, and we shouldn't take it from the Sunnah which is not authentic, but by reverse understanding any sunnah which is authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is what we take our aqidah from. And we don't concern ourselves with the number of people who reported it. Are they a large number or a small number? It only concerns us that the hadith is authentic. Then the author spoke about the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he said, وَقُلْ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ كَلَامُ مَلِكِنَا بِذَٰلِكَ دَانَ الْأَتْقِيَاءُ وَأَفْصَحُ. Say that the speech of our Lord Allah is not created. This is what the people of taqwa, what the people of taqwa they took, this is what they said clearly and spoke clearly about. I.e. the people of taqwa, they spoke clearly and clearly indicated to us that the Quran is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal and that it is not created. And when we say the Quran is not created, we made it clear that this means that no aspect of Allah's speech is created. Not the words, nor the meanings, nor the letters, nor the grammar, nor any other aspect of the speech of Allah. All of it is kalamullah, ghayru makhluq. It's Allah's speech and it is not created. And we also clarified as part of this that speech is attributed to the one who said it first. So for example, when I recite the Quran, I'm reciting the Quran. What I am reciting is Allah's speech, not mine. The voice is mine. As-sawtu, sawtul qari' wal kalam, kalamul bari. The speech or the sound, the voice, the sound is the sound of the reciter, but the speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for his statement, wa afsahu, any this has been reported from hundreds of the early generation, from among the most famous scholars of Islam, all of them saying, Al-Qur'anu kalamullah ghayru makhluq. The Qur'an is Allah's speech, it is not created. And then he said, وَلَا تَكُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِالْوَقْفِ قَائِلًا كَمَا قَالَ أَتْبَاعٌ لِجَهْمٍ وَأَسْجَحُ. Do not say, or do not take a position of uncertainty with regard to the Qur'an. Some people did that, right? So they said, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Allah is the one who knows. We're not going to say anything about it. Allahu A'lam. Allah is the one who knows. And this is not correct, because Allah has told you what to believe in the Quran. He has not left it to something unknown. He has not made your belief something that is uncertain or unsure. So you must be sure of what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded you to be sure about. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. The believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then they have no doubt. So as for the person who has doubt about their aqidah, and they say only Allah knows what it means, and only Allah knows the correct understanding of this, this is not correct in matters of aqidah. Rather, if Allah has told you what to believe, so you must believe as Allah has told you to believe. As for the things that Allah has not told you about, then in this you can make tafwid. Like you say, Allah has not told us how He speaks, or Allah has not told us how He descends, or Allah has not told us how He rose above His throne, or Allah has not told us how, for example, is His hand, for example. So Allah Azza wa Jal has not told us some things, what Allah has not told us about. Here you can make tafwidul kayf. You can say nobody knows how it is except Allah. But as for going to the core of aqidah and belief and Allah's names and attributes and saying nobody knows the meaning except Allah, and nobody knows if the Quran is the speech of Allah, and nobody knows and nobody knows, this is only from ash-shakk wal-raib fid-deen. This is from having doubts and uncertainty in the religion. And he indicated that this is only another version of the aqidah of Jahm ibn Safwan. And we explained that the Jahmiyyah are those who denied Allah's names and attributes, right? So they said, in fact, the original Jahmiyyah, they denied everything except al-wujud. They said, we don't affirm anything for Allah except that He exists. That's it. They don't affirm hearing or sight or knowledge or speaking or having mercy or any single thing except that Allah exists. But we clarified that this is not only the belief that stayed with Jahm ibn Safwan, rather this belief carried on among a number of groups who followed, who agreed with part of what he said, even if they disagreed with part. And that's why the author said, كَمَا قَالَ أَتْبَاعٌ لِجَهْمٍ. Followers of Jahm, even if they didn't follow him in every single thing, but they followed him in his usul, in the core principles that he believed in, and they also, the natija, the result of what they said was to deny Allah's names and attributes in one form or another. And then he says, وَلَا تَقُلِ الْقُرْآنُ خَلْقٌ قَرَأْتُهُ فَإِنَّ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ بِاللَّفْظِ يُوضَحُ. Don't say that the Quran is a created thing that I recited. For indeed the speech of Allah is made clear through its words. And so we said that the Quran is the speech of Allah in every aspect. As for recitation, we say as-sawtu sawtul qari wal kalamu kalamul bari. The sound and the voice is the voice of the reciter, and the speech is the speech of Allah. We are going fast through this because we are just summarizing what we covered last lesson. We are not going into anything new. When we go new, we go slowly, inshallah. This is just a quick revision. He said, وَقُلْ يَتَجَلَّ اللَّهُ لِلْخَلْقِ جَهْرَةً كَمَا الْبَدْرُ لَا يَخْفَى وَرَبُّكَ أَوْضَحُ. Say, it is Allah who will appear before His creation clearly, just as the moon is not hidden and your Lord is clearer. So he said that he explained that Allah will be seen يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ when we die. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَنْ تَرَوْ رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا. You will not see your Lord until you die. As for when you die, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like one of you looks upon the moon when it's full. You will not compete with each other. لَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. You will not compete with each other in looking at it. And this statement, وَرَبُّكَ أَوْضَحُ. Your Lord is even clearer. If Allah Azza wa Jal is able to create the moon, which can be seen so clearly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the best example. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will look at Him, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. We will look at Allah. And Allah says that we will look at Him on the Day of Judgment. Then no doubt, the one who created the moon and the moon is able to be seen is the one who is able to be seen by his creation in the way that he decrees and the way that he has told us it will happen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَلَيْسَ بِمَوْلُودٍ وَلَيْسَ بِوَالِدٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ شِبْهٌ تَعَالَى الْمُسَبَّحُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal is not one who was born, nor does he have any offspring, and there is nothing comparable to him. He is the one who is deserving of being exalted in perfection. And what we said about this is, we said the author brought this here to show that saying that Allah will be seen يوم القيامة does not contradict the fact that there is nothing like Allah. Rather, it is as Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing that is comparable to Allah, and Allah is the all he's seeing and the all hearing and the all seeing. So if this is being said that Allah is the all hearing and the all seeing, cannot human beings see? They can. Can human beings hear? They can. So what then is the difference between that and any other of the attributes of Allah? In reality, this is why the scholars, they say, whatever you say about one attribute, you must say also about the others. And if you say that Allah has knowledge, but His knowledge is not like our knowledge, so Allah sees and His sight is not like our sight, and Allah hears and His hearing is not like our hearing, and Allah rose above the throne and His rising is not like our rising, and Allah descended to the lowest heaven and His descent is not like our descent. So when you speak about one aspect of Allah's attributes and you establish a principle, that should be applied to all of them. There should be no reason for you to accept some of it and to reject others. And he said, وَقَدْ يُنْكِرُ الْجَهْمِيُّ هَذَا وَعِنْدَنَا بِمِسْتَاقِ مَا قُلْنَا حَدِيثٌ مُسَرِّحٌ. He said that the Jahmi, the follower of Jahm ibn Safwan, and all those who took his principles and followed his way, they will reject this. While we have a hadith which gives truth to what we said. رَوَاهُ جَرِيرٌ عَمَّ مَقَالِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَقُلْ مِثْلَ مَا قَدْ قَالَ فِي ذَاكَ تَنْجَحُ. This hadith is narrated by Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali رضي الله عنه from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this hadith clearly states that you will see Allah Azza wa Jal as you look at the moon on the night when it is full. You will not compete in looking at it. And we explained the hadith last time. We said this hadith does not compare Allah to the moon. Rather, this hadith compares looking clearly to looking clearly. He said, وَقَدْ يُنْكِرُ الْجَهْمِيُّ أَيْضًا يَمِينَهُ وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ بِالْفَوَاضِلِ تَنْفَحُمْ. He said, the Jahmi, the one who is following the beliefs of Jahm ibn Safwan, would also reject Allah's hand. He would also say that Allah doesn't have his hand, while Allah's two hands are constantly giving out graces. And we mentioned that there are something like 100 different descriptions of Allah's hands mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. بَلْ يَدَاهُمْ أَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Rather, his two hands are stretched forth. The Prophet ﷺ said, the hearts of the servants are between two fingers, مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ, from the fingers of the Most Merciful. He يُقَلِّبُهَا, he turns it them over however he wishes. This is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ in an authentic hadith. But we say the same thing about Allah's hand that we said about Allah's hearing and sight. Just like Allah's hearing is not like our hearing, and just like Allah's sight is not like our sight, so just like that, Allah's hand is not like our hand. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that is comparable to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for his statement, وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ بِالْفَوَاضِلِ تَنْفَحُ, this is an indication that Allah's hands are not mentioned without description. And that distinguishes the difference between the meaning of hand and the meaning of power. Because some people came and said, look, all of you misunderstood. Whenever Allah said hand, he meant power. They said, whenever Allah said hand, he meant power. And the Arabs sometimes use the word hand for power, but they never used it like that. And that's why the author said, وَكِلْتَ يَدَيْهِ بِالْفَوَاضِلِ تَنْفَحُ. The Arabs never described power like that. Rather, they described power like Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ, like that. That's how they said it. But they didn't use, for example, giving out, stretching forth, both of his hands or right hands, the fingers of the Most Merciful. The Arabs never described power like that. And that is why the author here, he makes the distinction of that Allah's hands are giving out. Then he said, وَقَدْ يَنْزِلُ, he said, وَقُلْ يَنْزِلُ الْجَبَّارُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ بِلَا كَيْفَ جَلَّ الْوَاحِدِ الْمُتَمَدِّحُ. He said, and say that Al-Jabbar, Allah, descends every night, بِلَا كَيْفَ, without asking how. The kayfiyah, how Allah descends, is known by Allah, but how Allah descends is not known by us. And his descent is not like our descent. It's not like his creation. And it doesn't negate his highness and his supremacy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِلَىٰ طَبَقِ الدُّنْيَا يَمُنُّ بِفَضْلِهِ فَتُفْرَجُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَتُفْتَحُ. He says that Allah descends to the lowest heaven, giving out from his grace, and the doors of the heavens are opened. يقول ألا مستغفر يلقى غافرا ومستمنح خيرا ورزقا فيمنح. Is there not someone seeking forgiveness so that Allah may forgive him, or someone asking Allah for something so Allah may give it to him? And that is indicating what? It's indicating the hadith. So here you'll notice that the poet, what he does is, when he brings a line, he often quotes a hadith inside his poetry. But obviously in poetry, you can't quote the whole hadith. So he quotes taraful hadith, a part of the hadith. So he says, أَلَا مُسْتَغْفِرٌ يَلْقَ غَافِرًا. Is there not someone seeking forgiveness who could meet with one who is the most forgiving? And by this, he refers to the hadith, هَلْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anyone asking forgiveness so that I may forgive them? هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Is there anyone asking for something from this world so that I may give it to them? And this hadith, he indicates it here. He said, رَوَى ذَاكَ قَوْمٌ لَا يُرَدُّ حَدِيثُهُمْ أَلَا خَابَ قَوْمٌ كَذَّبُوهُمْ وَقُبِّحُوا. This hadith was narrated by a group of people. You can't reject what they said. And we mentioned in the class last time that it's so strange that some people reject hadith from narrators. They accept the same hadith in prayer. When that same narrator teaches them how to pray, they accept it. When the same narrator teaches them how to fast, they accept it. When the same narrator tells them about marriage and divorce, they accept it. But when the narrator tells them about Allah, they say, we are doubtful about what you brought. We don't accept this hadith. So we said hadith are not rejected because you don't like them or you don't understand them. Hadith are only rejected when the chain of narration is weak. And then he spoke about the Sahaba and he said, وَقُلْ إِنَّ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَزِيرَاهُ قِدْمًا ثُمَّ عُثْمَانُ الْأَرْجَحُ. Say that the best of the people after Muhammad ﷺ in this ummah, yani the Muslims, are his two helpers, Abu Bakr and Umar, and then Uthman, who was preferred. Yani meaning Uthman was preferred over Ali radiallahu anhu. وَرَابِعُهُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ بَعْدَهُمْ عَلِيٌّ حَلِيفُ الْخَيْرِ بِالْخَيْرِ مُنْجِحُ. And the fourth of them is Ali bin Abi Talib, who was so keen for goodness and doing good. وَإِنَّهُمُ وَرَّهْتُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِمُ. And here, if you've got in your poem لِلْرَّهْتِ, this is or لِلْرَّهْتُ or لَلْرَّهْتُ, sorry. If you have in your poem لَلْرَّهْتُ with a lam, it's better that it is a wow. Both are narrated in the poem. It came with lam and wow, but the wow makes more sense here. وَإِنَّهُمُ وَرَّهْتُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِمُ. That indeed these people, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially the ones the poet is going to mention, they are ala nujub al-firdausi bin nuri tasrahu. They are from the people of al-firdaus who were promised paradise. Sa'idun wa sa'dun wa ibn awfin wa talhatu wa amiru fihrin wa zubayru mumaddahu. They are Sa'id and Sa'd. In Sa'id ibn Zayd, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Talha ibn Ubaidillah, wa amiru fihrin wa zubayr, al-Zubayr ibn al-Awam. Wa amiru fihrin, here we explained that this is refers to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. All of them are worthy of praise. And he says, wa kul khayra qawlin fi sahabati kullihim, وَلَا تَكُ طَعَانًا تَعِيبُ وَتَجْرَحُ. Say the best thing about the Sahaba, all of them. So when we speak about the Sahaba, we only say the best things about them. And we never ever criticize them. We never ever speak badly of them. We never insult them or revile them. He said, فَقَدْ نَطَقَ الْوَحْيُ الْمُبِينُ بِفَضْلِهِمْ وَفِي الْفَتْحِ آيٌ لِلصَّحَابَةِ تَمْدَحُ. The Quran clearly tells us, and the Sunnah, the virtues of the Sahaba, particularly Surah Al-Fath. And we mentioned that there are many, I don't know how many, did we reach 7 different ayat or more in Surah Al-Fath that praise the Sahaba, especially the last part of Surah Al-Fath, Muhammad Rasulullah, this from here till the end of the Surah, which praises the Sahaba, their description in the Torah and the Injil, and we explained that last lesson. The last place that we reached up to is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَبِالْقَدَرِ الْمَقْدُورِ أَيْقِنْ فَإِنَّهُ دِعَامَةُ عِقْدِ الدِّينِ وَالدِّينُ أَفْيَحُ. That the author talks to us about belief in Qadr. He talks to us about proper belief in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this here is something which is important for us, first of all because it's a pillar from the pillars of Iman, and also because of the number of people who got lost and misguided in this particular issue. And many people, they got lost and misguided in the issue of Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, the issue of Allah's decree and what to believe in it. And that's where we finished last time, explaining the issues relating to Al-Qadr. I want to just give you a summary of that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked. He was asked by some of the Sahaba in the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, that some of the Sahaba said, they said, "Fima al-amal." They said, what are our actions all about? أَفِي أَمْرٍ مُسْتَأْنِفٍ. Is it something that is random? أَمْ فِي أَمْرٍ. Or is it something that has been قُدِّرَ وَقُضِي, something that has been decreed for us? The Prophet ﷺ told us, rather, this action of yours has been decreed for you and measured for you. They said, فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلِ. They said, what should we do? Then the Prophet ﷺ said something amazing. If somebody understands this statement that he said, to be honest with you, you will grasp the whole concept of qadr. If you can understand this one statement the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. He said, act, work hard, for every one of you will be made easy for him what he was created for. This is something powerful what he said. And to be honest, this summarizes all the things we said about qadr. The first thing is that the response to understanding Allah's decree is working hard. If you're not working hard, you have not understood the concept of qadr properly if you're not working hard. Rather, the concept of qadr is based upon what? It's based upon hard work, that you need to work hard. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The people who strive for us, we will certainly guide them to our ways. And likewise, the second principle, فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everyone, it will be made easy for them what Allah created them for. And that means that you need Allah to make things easy for you. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. You need Allah to bless you. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the success to be able to be from the people of Jannah. You can't be from the people of Jannah just by mujarrad amal, just by working hard. You can't be from the people of Jannah. Rather, you can't be from the people of Jannah until you bring two things: hard work and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you bring these two things together, these are the keys by which a person earns the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becomes from the people of Jannah. That is hard work and your need of Allah. اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everyone will be made easy what they were created for. Meaning that you need to work hard and you need Allah's help. And this can also be understood in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, اِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Be keen for what will benefit you and seek Allah's help. All of that is just revision of what we did last time. We went very fast. We didn't stop. We didn't explain. We didn't go slowly. We didn't help the kids to understand. We just zoomed through what we did last time. We now only have 5 minutes until Maghrib, or probably less by now, inshallah. So what we will do, inshallah ta'ala, is we will stop. We will take a break. And bi-idhnillah, what we're going to do is, inshallah, after Salat al-Maghrib, we will start explaining the rest of the poem, inshallah, as best we can. I know our time is a little bit limited, and I know that we started very late today. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. It was Allah's decree, and Allah does whatever He wills. But inshallah ta'ala, we will start with الإيمان بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And we have four lines of the poem that relate to belief in the last day. Do you want to read them first quickly? After Salah. Okay, after Salah, you will read them, inshallah. We will stop the live stream here because there's no benefit to just keeping it going for no reason. We will pause it and stop it, at least on my side, my channel. And then, inshallah ta'ala, we will start it again at the time of when we start the poem itself, inshallah. هذا والله أعلم والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.